Please stand for the call to worship. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Sometimes it is difficult to admit we have done wrong or not done what is right. But God awaits our confession so we can know the joy of being a forgiven people. Let us pray together. Lord of the universe, you have called us to bear fruit that lasts, doing good works and bringing others to Christ. But we confess that our harvest is both feeble and fleeting. We have separated ourselves from your life-giving presence. Gather us back from our weariness and graft us into the vine of your Son, Christ, that we might serve you in a manner befitting your eternal love for us. Hear the good news. The only one blameless and without sin took our sins with him upon the cross, dying in our place, that we might find forgiveness and eternal life.
Thanks be to God, to whom we owe gratitude, honor, and our very
life. Thank you.
A warm welcome to each and every one of you this morning. You all have happenings, and there is a lot of information in the happenings. So take them home and read them after worship, and be sure and pay attention to all the things that are there. Your friendship card, on the bulletin, has a lot of opportunities for you to sign, too, so check that out. There's just a couple of things I wanted to highlight from the bulletin. One, next week is a big week. Next Sunday, we begin our fall schedule. Sunday school resumes again. There'll be pancakes next Sunday to honor the occasion. You can come for pancakes, go to Sunday school, and then worship. Or you can come to worship, go to Sunday school, and then have pancakes. The pancakes will be served during the worship services. So I hope you all be back next Sunday to join us for the beginning of the fall program. I just want to point out the annual Silver Cup golf outing will be held next Saturday. Well, not next Saturday, but held Saturday, September 19th. And the annual crop walk on Sunday, October 4th. Elizabeth Circle begins this week, too. I have one announcement that didn't get in. From Paul Ryman. Are you invited for the third annual YouTube Charis at Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago at 8 p.m. on Friday, September 11th? If you haven't heard of it yet, a YouTube Charis is a communion worship service with nothing but YouTube music. And if Paul and Kim are going, they're going to be leaving here from the church at 6 o'clock or 6:15. If you want to go with them and go downtown for that service, talk to Paul about that, Paul Ryman. And John has an awesome thing he wants to make.
Can you tell your right hand from your left hand? Okay. Can you count to four? Well, if you can, you are qualified to play bells. Handbell practice is starting a week from tomorrow, 7 o'clock. We will meet every Monday night at the usual thing. We will be playing the fourth Sunday of every month. We can always use more people. If you don't know anything about music or about bells, that's all right. What we're doing is simple enough. We can teach you. We can play very simple. If you want, you can play very complex. But we've got everything in between. So you're more than welcome. Please show up on Monday night, and we'll tell you what you need to know.
Thank you, John. And Angie has a children's moment. So children, please come forward.
Okay. I know, I was looking. I suspected. I told Josh he was going to have to come up. He's my junior son. I said no. Oh, you want to volunteer, Tim? Oh, no. And Tim's done that before, too. You know what? I'll just talk in general, and I'll be brief, and then maybe we'll all get out. Our sermon today is on James chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And, of course, it's talking about discriminating and that we shouldn't. And as you continue on in it, you will find that, again, it tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And it turns out that is said to us 8 times in the Bible. So usually when something's told more than once, twice, it's kind of important, or seems to be a little more important. So the fact that we've shared that in the Bible 8 times obviously is something that God is really putting into our hearts and our minds that's something that we should do. And I know that as a congregation, I feel that many of you are very good at that anyway. I think of all the things that our church does. Especially the food pantries is something that we're reaching out. But just to think of our neighbor and to share when you are with children that our neighbor doesn't mean it's somebody that's in close proximity necessarily to us. Our neighbor can be anyone. And so just tonight and as you are meditating, if you would just think of people that God maybe hasn't even placed in your lives yet, or to think of people that you have seen but may not know that may be hurting and we aren't even aware of it, so that we could just pray for others and be mindful that we should love everyone, even those that we may not yet know, or ones that are harder to love, but that's part of the challenge in God's commitment to us, that he loves all of us, and that he then asks for us to do the same. So I'll listen to that, but thank you. I didn't make you close your eyes and think of who you love, so I gave you a little break today. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Angie. And I know there are some adults who prefer the children's sermons to the regular one. As God has been generous to you, give generously for the work of Christ Church. We are God's hands. Without us, God's work will not be done. Let us now worship God with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Holy God, we come with open minds and eager hearts to hear your word for us this day. Speak to us through the word written so long ago, and grant us understanding of your will for us in this time and place. Amen. The scripture for this morning is James 2, 1-17. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while the one who is poor you say, "Stand there or sit at my feet," have you not made distinction among yourselves and become judged with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But if you have dishonored the poor, Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blessing the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Your faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of the Lord. You know those little one-liners of wisdom people tend to toss out now and then? A fool and his money are soon pardoned. A stitch in time saves nine. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And how about the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing? And actions speak louder than words. You know, I happen to think they're kind of neat. These so-called words of wisdom speak to the truth, give us lots to think about, and also give us, they can point us in the right direction when we have a decision to make. But you do have to be careful. They can also be misleading. Birds of a feather flock together, a penny saved, a penny earned. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Yes, James' words in his letter to the 12 tribes in the dispersion has become one of those one-liners that is casually tossed out in the conversation now and then. But it needs to be taken seriously. Faith without works is dead. There are those who think the Apostle Paul would be quick to take exception to James' words. It'd be kind of interesting to get Paul and James together. The conversation might go something like this. Paul, hey James, you've got it all wrong. Works have nothing to do with faith. You're saved by faith alone. James, you're the one who has it all wrong. If you don't do good works, you don't have faith. Paul, faith is a gift from God, and you can't do anything to earn it. James, faith is made visible through works. Paul, but you don't have to do works to have faith. At this point, God intervenes. Hey, fellas, that's enough. Shake hands and make up. You are both right. Yes, they are both right. That being the case, let us take a better look at James, which was the scripture reading for this morning. The lesson for today begins with James admonishing his readers for paying attention to the rich and ignoring the poor. He even goes so far as to say that it's a sin and reminds them of the royal law, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We of course, are not like the folks that James is writing to. We don't discriminate. We welcome all with open arms. Rich or poor, or in between. People of all ethnicity, race, disabilities, sexual orientation. There's no discrimination here. Not in our church. Not in my church. Now there's another one of those one-liners. Not in my church. Maybe in the church down the street, by the church across town, but not in my church, at least not in our minds. But you know, sometimes our hearts don't follow our minds, and we don't really feel how we say we feel. We don't always do what we say we'll do. And sometimes it's hard not to feel better than someone else, a little more righteous. We've worked a little bit harder, give a little more time or money. But God knows what's in our hearts. And that could be bad news. The good news is God loves us as we are. And if you don't remember anything else I say here today, I want you to remember that. God loves you as you are. God loves you as you are. Of course, you realize that means that God loves the person sitting next to you, the person in front of you, and that person you can't stand who disagrees with everything that you say, just as he or she is too. God loves you as you are. God loves the other as he or she is. Does that make a difference in how you see others? Does it make it easier to welcome others that are different from you? Does it nudge you to reach out to others in need, to do the good works that James writes about? One of the commentaries on this passage made the statement that in some quarters, to be Christian means little more than to be nice. To be Christian means little more than to be nice. And it's that kind of thinking, that kind of being, is why James insists that faith without works is dead. For faith to be alive and vibrant, it must make a difference in how you live. You can't say one thing and do another. James asks, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? Or how can you believe and act the way you do? The brief answer to that, of course, is because we are human, and therefore we all fall short of being who God intends us to be. So here's another one-liner for you. God loves you as you are and sees you as you can be. Maybe it's stretching the imagination a little bit, but I see Paul and James coming together in that one-liner. God loves you as you are speaks to faith. What you can be speaks to works. And our actions speak to both. And our actions do speak louder than words. They are not the means by which we find favor with God, but they do speak to others of our faithfulness and our commitment to Christ. Good works are easy to come by. You don't have to be a Mother Teresa or travel to another state or another country, although we do have some members that do that. Remember in last week's scripture, James wrote that religion that is pure is to care for orphans and widows. In this congregation, there are those who pick up others to take them to church or doctor's appointments. And there are those who take a meal to those in need. Many volunteers make it possible for our children to learn about God and get to know Jesus in Sunday school and Wednesday night together in Vacation Bible School. A good work can be as simple as a phone call, a warm smile, or a cheery hello. A prayer by Malcolm Boyd, a writer popular in religious circles in the 60s, begins, "Send me." But where, Lord? To do what? To bring pardon where there had been injury in a life I casually brush against in my daily work? But I had thought of mediating a teenage gang war in Chicago. To help turn doubt into faith in a person with whom I live intimately in my circle of family or friends. But I had thought of helping a tired drunk on Skid Row. to bring joy into a life consumed by sadness, which touches the hem of my garden, which touches the hem of my life at a drinking fountain. But I had thought only of a far-off, distant mission land. Send me. Send me next door, into the next room, to speak somehow to a human heart beating alongside mine. Where do you think God is sending you? What good work can you do today, this week, this year, so you may be a faithful witness to your living faith? God loves you just as you are, but he sees you as you can be. Strive to be that person that God sees. Amen. Now we come to the joys and concerns of the church. I have here one joy, of course, is that Mike's not here this morning because yesterday Matt DeBurn and Denise Gegner were married. They are now Mr. and Mrs. DeBurn, and we wish them all the best and one of our joys. Also, next, this upcoming Saturday, Mary Beth Fortune and Joel Kempster will be married, so we also rejoice with them as they will be starting a new life together. Some concerns that we have is Art Schroeder is in hospice with bone cancer. Carol Spittler is at the Alamos Extended Care and with pancreatic cancer. And Ethel Cross was undergoing 7 weeks of intensive radiation for cancer in the salivary gland, and it's going to be quite a neat deal for her. I understand that she won't be able to, after a while, the process means that she won't be able to eat, and will have to have a feeding tube. So for the next 7 weeks, why keep Ethel Crossfield in prayer? There are other joys and concerns that for today. Any joys and concerns? No more? Oh, I should maybe add that Ann Lambrook is going to have surgery on her hand on Tuesday also. Okay. There are no other joys and concerns. Let us bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Creator God, we come with praise on our lips for the beauty of creation. We give thanks for the green of grass and trees, for the bright colors of the flowers, for white fluffy clouds and clear blue skies. Help us pay attention to these gifts that you have given us, especially when our spirits are low. On this holiday weekend, we pray for safe travel for those on the roads, on the water, on the railways, and in the air. We remember those who labor long and hard for little reward. We pray for an awakening in the hearts of those who are greedy and think only of themselves. May they see the error of their ways. We rejoice with Matt and Denise, who were married yesterday, and with Mary Beth and Joel, who will be married Saturday. We ask your blessings on them as they begin their new lives together. May they know you are always with them in the joys and the challenges of married life. The healthcare system in our country needs reform. Touch the hearts and minds of those who have the authority to make a difference. May they listen to one another and reach a decision that is best for all the people. We ask your healing touch on all those who are ill in body and spirit. Art Schroeder, Carol Spittler, Ethel Crossfield, those who are homebound and those who have ongoing health concerns as listed in our bulletin. Ease their pain, give them the wisdom they need to make difficult decisions, and surround them with your peace. We also lift up in prayer their families who share their pain. We lift up Ann Lambrook in prayer and pray for a successful surgery and a quick healing. We pray with Laura for good health and success in life. And Margaret Goodhart has asked for courage and wisdom for those in transitional situations. In a moment of silence, we remember those who have not been named here this morning, but are very much on our minds and hearts this day. Hear our prayers, O God, and now hear us as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
God love you as you are and see you as you can be. Strive to be the person that God means for you to be. Go now and go in peace, knowing that the love of God surrounds you, the grace of Christ embraces you, and the Holy Spirit in peace empowers you. Amen.
Thank you.